And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show five days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind, so they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast. Big D and Bubba's podcast.
All right, so you know a lot can go wrong in 20 minutes. We all know that. 20 minutes, the whole world can fall apart. Well, your car's engine is no different. Up to 75% of engine wear happens during warm-up, but Castrol GTX Magnetek has intelligent molecules that actually cling to your engine like a magnet on the inside, providing you with instant protection from the moment you start. So you want to go ahead and check out Castrol GTX Magnetek. They are awesome, and they're our sponsor for the podcast this week.
So thank you.
Yay. I do want to make a quick note that after the podcast is done today here on the podcast itself, we're going to post the interview. A lot of people have asked us to repost the interview with Dylan O'Brien from American Assassin. He also used to be on Teen Wolf. He was Styles. He is the Maze Runner guy. Again, he's in that new movie, American Assassin, which is one of our favorite books, easily mine. I introduced Big D to this like 10 years ago, the Vince Flynn, Mitch Rapp series, and we became instant fans. Just great books. Can't wait for the first movie in the series. Hi, Carson.
Hi.
Which comes out this weekend. So go see the movie American Assassin. You're going to love it. If it's even half as good as the books, you're going to freak out. It's going to be awesome. So that interview is going to be tagged on to the end of the podcast. For those of you watching on Facebook, well, you're going to have to go to the end of the podcast on tape to hear it.
So. Can you believe they are finally making a movie about it?
No.
I'm so excited, man.
Like, whenever it was announced a couple of years ago, I freaked out. And then, like, they were real quiet about the casting and everything. So we didn't know who was going to be Mitch Rapp. We didn't know anything about it. And I think the first person we saw as an actor attached to the movie was Michael Keaton as playing Hurley. And we were like, yes! Because he's got that thing.
Yeah, I pretty much like any Michael Keaton. There are a few actors where I like everything they're in. Michael Keaton is one of them. Who played Gump? What's his name?
Who played
Tom Ball? Hanks?
Tom Hanks. That's it.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, I like those guys.
So the movie's going to be rad.
Have you seen The Founder with Michael Keaton?
No, but I want to.
Oh, it's on Netflix. It is so good.
What is it?
It's about the founder of McDonald's, Ray Kroc.
And him going to people trying to get support, and they're like, no, thanks.
Yeah. It's just, the whole thing is just really interesting.
Yeah. They're like kicking themselves now.
Wow. I didn't know that. Okay.
I had a friend of mine. Well, it was a friend of my dad's growing up, and he was approached by Ray Kroc back in the day, and he turned him down. He's like, it was like $1,000 or something, like $10,000.
My dad also had a situation like that where they were trying to, somebody came to him and said, there's this band, they're going to make it. They're going to be the next big thing. We're sending them off to Nashville and we're taking some investors and this and that. You guys want to get involved? And my dad's like, yeah, they're really good, but I don't know. He tells me, I don't know if it's true, but he turned it down. And it was Alabama.
Really?
Like to help fund their first project and get them going and all that kind of stuff. I'm like, man, that could have paid dividends. Could you imagine? I mean, because people do that. Like, and now it's a lot easier for bands to do it because they'll do like Kickstarter.
Right.
Or Indiegogo type projects. And they can fund their projects that way by having fans fund it. Back in the day, you had to find people like the guy who lived in your town who owns a car dealership that you went to school with his son or daughter. And that's how you funded your projects.
Wow.
Yeah. Does he like him still? I mean, does he like...
What, Alabama?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if it's true. He's always told that story, though. You know how dads have those stories every once in a while that you go, man, that's a great story. Don't know how true it is, but anyway, that was one. That's probably my dad's biggest one.
What probably really happened was he was asked to, like, give someone a dollar for the jukebox, and it happened to be in the state of Alabama. And somehow it's like turned into,
close enough.
Well, you know, back in the day,
I could have funded their first album.
You ever heard of Alabama?
And that's so my dad, too. My dad is like, he turns into, when he gets excited, he turns into Foghorn Leghorn.
He does.
Like, he'll be talking to you like this, and all of a sudden he gets, well, let me tell you something. It was crazy. Let me see here. he just turns into that, you know? It's great. Speaking of dads, you get to spend time. Carson got to spend time with her dad. Mom and dad came and visited.
Yeah, my parents
week.
Were here for a while. They came to hang out and celebrate my birthday and all that good stuff. So
happy belated birthday to you.
Yeah, so it was good. It was very nice. It was the first time I've gotten to see them on my birthday in a very long time.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Aw.
I just don't live close to them anymore.
I love how they never stopped by to say hi to us.
Well,
like last time your dad came in with his friend, but your mom stayed away.
She actually did come in the studio later in the day. I had to drop by to bring Patrick that George Strait signed vinyl. I had to go pick it up. It is so cool. No, my mom actually asked. She's like, well, I mean, maybe I could come in to work with you one day. And I go, cool. You're just going to sit in a studio with me for 5 hours. Like,
I would have done it.
That seemed like a lot.
It is a
lot. One day you'll be like, man, I wish I would have done that.
Yep.
Really, we're going there?
I can't believe we didn't get Carson's mom in here for James Vanderbeek Day.
Oh, yeah. She would have had some great stories.
No. Can we get her on the phone?
No. She had left, though. She left town before James Vanderbeek did.
She did.
I know, but it was so close. Today, we were so close.
Today, as you were listening to the podcast, you're probably thinking to yourself, what are they talking about?
So September mad at myself.
September 14th, last year, we did a podcast. And
it was then that we found out Carson's little secret. Carson went to middle school and went to church growing up with James Vanderbeek. And Carson,
he's the actor from Varsity Blues.
Yeah, that guy. You know that guy.
Stop giving him publicity.
What else was he in? Dawson's Creek.
Right.
That guy. He was Dawson, wasn't he?
I've never seen Dawson's Creek.
You've missed nothing.
I have watched Varsity Blues probably 3,000 times.
Hey, you know what? I have seen that commercial that they did where they made fun of Varsity Blues. Was it what was that commercial? Like some kind of auto trader or something. There wasn't enough drama in that. Hang on, we'll get James Vanderbeek. And they bring him in and he goes, I don't want your life. It's freaking great.
I missed that.
Oh my God. Yeah, Bubba doesn't watch commercials.
I'm not missing it at all.
Why don't you like him? What's the problem?
Oh, she has so much hate in her heart.
It was covered extensively on a podcast a year ago. Yeah. But basically,
podcast number 126, if you'd like to hear the long maybe the most fun we've ever had in here, laughing hysterically at. I listened to it yesterday, and it was amazing.
I cannot control it.
Yeah.
That it just spews out of me.
She pretends that she doesn't hate him, and then it just all...
Explain to everyone who doesn't know.
We grew up together, and he was kind of a brat, and possibly I was a brat, but I didn't know me. I knew him, and he was a brat. And he had to be the star of everything, and he had to have all the solos in the choir, and he had to be the star of the plays. And, you know, every time we had a Christmas pageant, he basically got to be Joseph.
And his mom kind of arranged
that, She kind of pushed for that.
Like the showbiz mom type.
Yeah, and look at him. He's James Vanderbeek.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He's got that Diplo show.
He's on the Vice Network.
On the Vice Network.
Where is that on my cable system? I don't know either.
Oh, you see it? There it was. Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
I just love it.
That's terrible. Oh, that's awful. You know what I really need to
do? What, the network?
I do. I need to get on the phone with my best friend growing up. I need to call Janelle. And I need to see if
she... Give us her number. We'll call her
No, she's at work. Like, she's super smart. She's like a biochemical researcher. She's really intelligent. But she... You talk hate in your heart. Oh.
Does she hate him more than you?
Yes.
What is it about?
I want to talk to her.
Her heart is black.
Apparently, like, it's not just you. You said, like, everybody could drive around your hometown and they all have a James Vanderbeek story and it's never good.
I know. It's so great.
James Vanderbeek Day is back, y'all.
Yes.
This is awful.
Every year. It's on my calendar as a recurring... thing, so that every year on September 14th, it will remind me automatically that it's James Vanderbeek Day. And
what you need to do is have a reminder set on the 13th to remind us that tomorrow is James.
I'm going to go in my office after this podcast and on September 13th, put a reminder tomorrow.
I literally have not seen him since we were probably 14 years old, but I can't explain to you just what it felt like. Like, my dad, you guys have met my dad, and he used to work at NBC, like the network in New York City. So he got all the trade magazines. And one day he comes home and he puts the trade in front of me, but he covers the caption of a photo and he goes, "Hey, this is the big new TV show they're talking about. Do you recognize this guy?" And it's some blonde dude on a rock. And I'm like, "No. Oh my, that's James Van." It was the ad for Dawson's Creek.
Oh my God. I can only imagine if the guy I hated in middle school had become a star. Like, I know the guy. I can see him in my head. I'm like, oh, I'd hate that.
Is it possible that he's changed?
Sure.
I mean, you were 14.
We were 14.
Is that the last time you saw him?
Okay, so he didn't
go to high school with you.
No, middle school. Because he got the scholarship to the private high school in town, and he beat out my junior high boyfriend for that scholarship.
Oh, you see?
Was he the quarterback for the football team, like in Varsity Blues?
No. Did he play? Maybe he ran? He might have been on track. I'm trying to remember if he did cross country. That might have been about it.
So perhaps when he comes on the show.
Because he's coming on the show.
It's only a matter of time. I've already got my people on it.
We said this last James Van Der Beek day, too. So.
Yeah. This is my biggest nightmare.
Hey, if you're listening right now, please tweet James Van Der Beek and let him know that James Van Der Beek. It's
don't.
At Vander James. It's at Vander James.
James. Of course it is.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah, so I'm just saying, nothing.
I'm surprised
it's not the beak.
Can you see the crying James Van Der Beek meme? Does your blood pressure go up a little bit?
Just stop.
He might be more famous for that meme now than for any acting job he ever actually had.
That's probably true.
Yeah.
Because Dawson's Creek is very much 90s staying there.
Yeah. Would you not be willing to take part in a reconciliation show?
I talk a good game, but let's be honest. If you were like, "We have him on the phone," I would run and hide. But he's calling from nowhere near us. It's okay. I'm going to hide from the phone.
I love it.
You do know what's going to happen, right?
Yeah, we're going to get him on the phone. You're going to run and hide. We're going to talk to him about you. And he's not going to know. Yeah, he's going to be like, "What?"
He's
going to be like, "Who are you?" And I'm going to look even more petty and small than I already do.
Here's how we do it, guys. We bring Carson in. We tell her we need her to come talk to us on the air. We have him on the phone. She doesn't know. And then I'll just go sit in front of the door so she can't get out.
So we just ambush her.
Yeah.
I'm just stuck. I'm telling you. And my biggest night, again, I know I already look small and I'm not like, it's not like I'm holding a grudge. Just he wasn't nice. He just wasn't a nice kid. And I probably wouldn't give him two thoughts, except he was splashed all over my TV for the better part of 10 years.
Yeah, I'm going to say this again. Everyone out there has that one person in either elementary school or middle school that they couldn't stand. Imagine if that person became super famous.
Well, my thing is, again, people change. As Big D said, he was 14, you were 14.
Yep.
People change.
There is a chance.
You could have.
I might have been awful.
There is a chance that James Van Der Beek grew up and became a real human that you could.
But imagine if we do get him on the phone and he's terrible.
I don't think he would be.
Oh, and I'd be, and everybody would be like, "She was right. She was right.
Oh, no. It's not going to happen like that at all.
I would love to go, "Hey, we're going to play a game," and we blindfold her.
This is your life.
And James comes in, he sits down right there.
Dude, trust me. If I could pay money, like we did with Jared Neiman. If there was a service where I could somehow pay cash money from the company budget to have James Van Der Beek show up in studio just to do that, I would do it. Okay,
we wouldn't pay
the cable bill next month.
Hey, Bob, can we do like a Kickstarter program?
Oh my gosh, yeah. Yes.
Let's be fair, he can't be that expensive.
Oh my God, did you see it? Did you see it? It was great.
She can't stop it.
Oh,
she can't stop it.
You throw shade all day.
So can we set up something online to where we raise money to fly him in?
Or, if anything, we raise money and it's his choice. We could either pay for his travel or we could donate the money that we raise to charity of his choice.
That sounds nice.
How about we give it to the church you guys went to? First Congregational
Church of Cheshire, Connecticut.
Okay. And that's where the money's going to go.
That's where the money has to go.
The money goes back to the church.
The money goes back to the church.
I'm telling you, with all the stuff going on in the world right now, I don't think we need to start a Kickstarter campaign to get James Van Der Beek in.
Let everything settle down.
Okay, yeah.
Let everything settle down.
You know what? Why don't we table this? Because you guys will forget about it.
better than that.
There's a thing you don't remember here, Carson, which is that I'm in the room. And let me tell you something.
doesn't forget anything.
They forgot it was James Vanderbeek today, today. But you know what I didn't forget?
Well, that's exactly because we don't have reminders set in our phones saying it's James Vanderbeek Day. Pick on Carson.
Oh, so I just want to tell you guys that I just truly love it. I just love it. It's one of my favorite things that's ever happened, and it's going to continue to be one of my favorite things that's ever happened.
Here's what's going to happen. James Vanderbeek is going to be in the studio right here, and you're going to have to confront him. And on that show, he will be the most charming, well-likable person ever.
Yep,
he will.
And it will make you even
I know. And he will leave, and Carson will be even angrier.
You know what we're going to say when he leaves? He's a pretty good dude, man. I'd hang with that guy.
Go ahead and make the face. When we say he's a pretty good dude, she goes,
well, you know he's an actor.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen.
So terrible.
That's what's going to happen.
Podcast number 126, you guys. Yeah, I like catch that. Up. I'm just saying. You got to hear the whole
people like him. People like him are the ones who are really good about going into a party and looking really good for 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. But you hang with him for 3 months.
Well, you don't know that. You don't know that. Now all of a sudden you're lumping him into Carson world. You said like him.
Maybe it's not him, but there are a lot of people like that. Politicians are like that usually.
I mean, actors types, and, sure.
That's usually like it is.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. Big D is like that. You ever seen Big D?
Me?
Big D is the most... I mean, I'm not saying you're not cool to hang out with for 3 months, too, but I'm saying for an hour or 30 minutes at an event, Big D is the most charming, go out, talk to everybody, and be super cool. But he can't hang for 3 hours. That's a different thing. That's because he doesn't want to stay anywhere for 3 hours.
Fair point.
Okay, well, we're going to work on it. You're right. We're going to table this. And
I sent six emails off to different people this morning to try to book James Vanderbeek.
Good for you.
I got to get a lead somewhere.
That's why we love you. That's why we love you, Patrick.
Why don't you just reach out on Twitter?
I mean, he did that last year, and he didn't respond to any of this.
No, he was too busy tweeting about loud fireworks by his house.
I remember that.
Never stops. It's so great.
That's some Vander hate.
Vander hate. Hashtag Vander hate.
Oh, this is terrible.
Well.
You know what?
Again, it only makes me.
I literally think that was all we needed for today's podcast.
I do want to say this: if you're listening to the podcast and it's either live or you're listening to it before midnight on Sunday, September 17th, go to our website. Go to our Facebook. We've got links for a record that you can win. It's a signed album from George Strait. Patrick, do you have it? Can you bring it in here?
Oh my! What?
No, it's right there. Oh, it's right where?
Wait. I don't know.
Put it by the air cannon. Oh. Yes, we have an air cannon. but yeah, so it's an actual album, an LP, an old school vinyl record for Pure Country, celebrating the 25th anniversary of. You don't have to play it; just show it off here. And
so cool.
Yeah, it's pretty rad. You can win this, and oh look, it's signed by George Strait. He held this. His fingerprints are on there somewhere, mixed in with all of ours.
I think it's the only album that George Strait was ever featured on where he is
Clean shaven. It's the only album he's not clean shaven on?
Well, you know, Dusty had the beard.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, I've never seen it, right?
What?
You are kidding me.
We have got to arrange a screen.
Yeah.
Watch Pure Country with Big D.
How have you not seen Pure Country?
Never seen it. I mean, I can talk all the talk and, you know, I know all the, you know.
Like big major turning plot points.
Like, nobody puts Becky in a corner.
No, that's not Pure Country. And it's not Becky. What is that?
Baby in a corner.
There you go.
Hey, yeah, let's play the. Hey, give me. What do we always do with the actors?
The actors?
Yeah, let's play that game real quick before we go. Will you give me.
What do we give you? A movie? And you have to give us an actor? How do we do this?
The actor, and he has to tell us.
Oh,
he has to give us.
Yeah, you give me one actor, and I give you two movies or TV shows.
Let's start with James Vanderbeek. Go ahead, Big D.
Friday Night Lights.
Mm-hmm. No.
No.
Did we just talk about that?
Nope.
No. James Vanderbeek.
We just talked about it.
And
Dawson's Creek.
Correct.
And the Christmas play at her church.
I think that's legit.
And the Vanderplump rules.
What was the other one you said? What
Varsity Blues. Oh,
Varsity Blues. All right.
Give Varsity me Blues is way better all than right, Friday Night Lights.
Jennifer Aniston.
Friends.
Okay, there you go.
Office Space.
Why?
Remember
why
Office?
Are you
I'm trying
him?
To help him because that's what
don't
I do.
Help
I help
him.
My boy.
Office somebody space. Turn Bubba's mic off. He's going to cheat.
Yeah, Office Space. Oh, yeah.
You didn't okay. know that.
No, I didn't know that.
Oh, so
don't
fun.
Don't cheat. Give me another one.
George Clooney.
Yeah, it's a good one. George Clooney.
He was in.
this is great. We could play
Italian
this game.
Job.
Yes, okay. Yes, he was.
Was he in Italian Job?
Yeah, he was.
And, I always confuse that with Oceans.
And A Few Good Men.
He was not in A Few Good Men. He was in Ocean's 11, which Bubba just told you.
And 12, and 13.
Oh, that's what I thought. You know, I guess it was mixed up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't that the one where he drives a little car?
Yeah, Mark Wahlberg was in Italian Job.
Oh, never
job.
Mind then.
Yeah.
Oh, they're friends.
James Vanderbeek was in that.
Probably. He could have been.
Has he ever been in any other, like, major? I know Dawson Creek, that was a big one.
That yeah,
but that was a TV show, right?
It was a TV show. He's in Varsity Blues. He did.
She knows an awful lot about him for some reason.
I do.
She hates.
Well, it was always covered in the Cheshire Herald. it was in the hometown paper.
All right, here we go. So he was in Varsity Blues, Rules of Attraction,
terrible,
Mrs. Miracle,
hey,
Labor Day, Castle in the Sky.
Do you think that we could call? Cheshire, where are you from?
Cheshire, Connecticut.
It's like the name of every Stephen King fake town.
Speaking of, he was supposed to be, and I think Dolores Claiborne, and he ended up on the cutting room floor.
Aww.
That I believe that was the case. Again, covered in the Cheshire Herald.
So could we call your hometown and ask just a random person who the most famous person to come from their town is? Would they say him?
Yeah. Yeah, there's only two other slightly famous people.
Who are the two other slightly famous people from Chester?
Brian Leach.
First off, Vanderbeek is slightly famous. I mean, so
he's a little more than slightly. More than
but that's what
I mean. Seriously,
everybody's seen yeah. Varsity Blues. Everybody.
Brian Leach was.
Wasn't he in Starship Troopers too, or no?
I don't think so.
Maybe Brian, it's Neil Patrick Harris. I'm thinking of. Brian, so
yes,
similar.
That is that's Leach. Neil. Yeah, Brian Leach. L-E-E-C-H.
Oh yeah, yeah. You know Brian Leach.
The greatest American-born defenseman in the NHL.
Oh, it's L-E-E-T-C-H.
Oh, it's T-C-H, my bad.
Leech. Okay, yeah. Leech. Yeah, yeah, I found him. Who else?
Ron Palillo.
Ron.
And who is Ron Palillo?
Palillo. Lil.
Palillo. Do you want to do the reveal?
The reveal is... Oh, man!
Ooh, it was Mr. Cotter!
Horshack from Mr. Cotter. Oh,
yes, wow. Which is the reason
Welcome
I should have...
Welcome back, Cotter.
I should have brought my mother on the show because she dated him.
No what? Way!
She did.
Your mom dated
They went
Horshack?
To see Cool Hand Luke together.
Oh my gosh, mm-hmm. That's great.
The New Haven Palace, I think.
Ron Palillo.
Ron Palillo.
Rest his soul.
Rest his, yeah, he died oh, like 4 or 5 years ago.
Dead at the age of 63.
Wow, he died early.
He was a big smoker, from what I was told. But he might have had the lung cancer.
Wouldn't it be great if somebody was a big smoker and they smoked like giant cigarettes? Like I was,
he's with a novelty cigarette.
He was a big smoker.
Oh, I see it. Raised in Cheshire. Is it Cheshire?
Cheshire.
Like the Cheshire Cat.
Yeah, like Alice in Wonderland. Cheshire
yeah, born in Cheshire, Connecticut.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then, now it's making me look at your little hometown.
Kristen says James Vanderbeek also recently played in CSI Cyber.
Oh, that's correct. Oh. I would not watch it.
Was he in Jay and Silent Bob? I didn't remember
yes,
that.
Yes, he was in Jay and Silent Bob.
Really?
Strike.
That's awesome.
You want to talk... I went to see that in the theaters.
Did you not
and
know he was
no,
in it?
No! Oh, I'm two-thirds of the way through the movie, and he shows up, and I'm like, Kevin Smith, why? I love you. Why would you do this to me?
Here is the Wikipedia on your town.
Oh, we ought to do like the Wikipedias on our hometowns. Real, before we go.
I thought we were in a hurry.
We will. I know.
I'm sorry. I hate to say it out loud, but like I was trying to wrap this 10 minutes ago because he's in a hurry.
It says Cheshire has a Cold War era fallout shelter constructed in 1966, located underneath the local AT&T tower.
What?
Well, look at us.
How is that even?
That's on the Wikipedia.
Why is that even on your thing?
Can we add Carson to their Wikipedia? And can we add to Horshack's Wikipedia that he dated Carson's mom?
Yep. I'm going to put happen. Notable people. Oh, here it is. Notable people. And
who's
let's
number
see.
One?
Well, it's in alphabetical order.
Yeah, so.
I'm looking for him. What's his name again?
James Vanderbeek.
James Vanderbeek. Oh, there he is.
Yeah, he's got to be connected. Yeah,
I would think he would be at the bottom since it's in alphabetical.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. It literally is the very last one. And Ron Palillo, mm-hmm. He's on there.
Dude, you know what's a...
J.P. Morgan is from your hometown.
Really?
The J.P. Morgan.
Nope, didn't know that.
Yeah. Anju Nijman?
Is that the guy who's a TV producer?
He says he's an actor.
Oh, then I really don't know.
Dude, you know what I'm finding right now, though, is I'm looking at all of our hometowns Wikipedia pages. Cookeville, Tennessee does not have Big D listed. The guy, Rich Froning, the CrossFit champion.
Oh, he's not on there?
He is. He's on there. But you're not on there, man.
Yeah,
why would I be on there?
I go to New Iberia, Louisiana. There's no Patrick at all anywhere.
Oh.
We need to fix it.
Who's the most famous person from New Iberia?
Yeah,
oh my gosh, it's a laundry list of NFL greats.
Yeah, there were a lot of guys. There was a guy who played for the Cowboys and won a Super Bowl.
There's a ton of them, dude. I could sit here.
I went to high school with Mark Roman, who played in the NFL.
You also had George Rodrig, the Blue Dog painting guy.
Of course, yeah.
He's the guy
who wrote the books, James Patterson.
Wow.
Who wrote, and those books are all based in my hometown.
I'm not in. I go to Houma, Louisiana's Wikipedia page, and I'm not there.
Let's see. Who is
We're just
there?
Terrible, man. We don't get on our home
page.
I
didn't know Tab Ben was from Houma.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, my brother went to school with him.
I said James Patterson. I meant James Lee Burke. I was wrong. James Lee Burke wrote all his books about New Iberia.
If it makes you feel any better, I don't know any of these people, man.
If that's better, James Patterson's books aren't good.
Oh, hey, Lloyd Pitts is a Hollywood and TV stuntman. Is that the guy who flew the airplane through the hangar?
No, that was barn? No, Corky Fornoff was the guy's name who flew in James Bond Octopussy. Remember that little mini jet?
Yeah.
When they went through the hangar?
He's not from there. He's not Liston.
He must not be from there, but that's where it all went down.
Skylar Green?
Yeah, man. Again... You know, when you're in a small town, usually the notable people are politicians and athletes.
Yeah.
And then that's all they ever put on there.
That's all you got on there.
Yeah, like we had one of the big football coaches who he coached like the UConn and I think maybe was an assistant coach or something for Syracuse, was from my hometown.
Can we add ourselves to these?
I don't think
it's cool if you add yourself.
Really not cool.
Okay, I'll add you. You add me.
I think that's
we'll
a great idea.
Just make it a round robin.
I think it's a great idea. Anybody want to go and add us to our own hometowns? You just heard the whole list there.
See, they see J.P. Morgan was born in Hartford, so somebody's got to figure this out.
See, because someone
added him. There are two J.P. Morgans.
Oh.
There was the famous one and his rich dad. So.
Oh.
Okay.
Well, I guess it makes sense if they're from Connecticut somewhere. So there you go.
So as we wrap up the podcast, we are going to replay the interview, if you haven't heard, that we did for the movie that is out this weekend. And I can't think of the name of it.
It's called Assassin. American Assassin. And it's awesome. Vince Flynn movie. Great movie. I'm telling you, if you haven't read the books, just do it. They're great. I mean, we've been fans for the longest time, fanboying like crazy with Dylan O'Brien on the show. So
yeah, it was fun, man.
Check it out at the end of the podcast. So, yay. Are we done?
We're done.
All right, everybody. I got to find my little button here so I can press the button and we can hear Big D's stalker say, I'm sorry. And here we go.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay because you can listen to the regular show on the radio. Every day.
Here comes Brian.
It was the podcast.
Right here.
I'm sorry.
Still freaks you out, doesn't it?
It gets me every time.
Every single time. Real quick, as you're now still with us on the podcast, a lot can go wrong in 20 minutes, and your car's engine is no different. Up to 75% of engine wear happens during warm-up, but Castrol GTX Magnetek has intelligent molecules that cling to your engine like a magnet, providing you with instant protection from the moment you start. And now... Dylan O'Brien / Mitch Rapp.
Hello.
Hey, Dylan O'Brien, American Assassin, Mitch Rapp. Dude, you don't even know. We're like the biggest Mitch Rapp fans ever. Have been for a decade.
We've read every single one of the books, every single one. We're actually
on
the
way.
Yeah, we're actually ambassadors for the books.
Yep.
Like, we get them That's early. Awesome. Yeah. So, like, we're big fans.
Yeah, yeah.
That's so cool, man.
I'm very familiar with the work from the Maze Runner series and Teen Wolf as Styles and all that. And I was like, really, Dylan O'Brien as Mitch Rapp? And then, like, you kind of, whenever the first trailer came out, I went, yes, they nailed it.
Yeah. No way.
Yeah.
That's so cool. Thanks, man.
Man, I even think, I even like Michael Keaton as Stan. Like, that's not who I had in my mind.
Totally, yeah.
But it is.
It works.
As soon as you see him, like, in the trailer, I haven't seen the movie, but when you see the trailer, you kind of go, oh, remember we saw it? We're like,
yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, we probably played it 15 times here just in the studio the very first day it came out.
I'm sorry, Dylan. You've got two of the biggest
We're fanboying here, man.
We're fanboying.
That's awesome, man. Yeah. No, and you know what, though? That's it's so cool to hear because it's so cool to hear from, you know, true book fans and to hear that, like, you know, because I always thought that, too, is one of the things that I just felt like the way Michael cast the film was really smart, you know, and just not a conventional who exactly you would think of for these roles. You know, I mean, I'm forever, like, in debt to him for, like, trusting me with this role and being able to see me as Mitch and also with Keaton as Hurley, too. Like, again, just like you said, we're not the guys you'd immediately think about. But I think that ultimately, too, that's what will make it interesting, you know?
Yeah. For those who don't know the series,
it's the best series ever.
Dylan plays a part of Mitch Rapp. Mitch is a guy who's recruited out of Syracuse. He's a
lacrosse player. And,
big athlete. And
the CIA says, we need him because he's got an issue with terrorists because they took out his fiance, if I'm not mistaken, fiance or girlfriend. I always mix that one up. It's been a while.
And so he goes in, and Stan is kind of like his mentor and teaches him and does all this stuff. That's played by Michael Keaton. But he's like a CIA. He's like, it's our American James Bond.
We know that these people are really out there. There really are Mitch Rapps. They're, you know, there are dudes out there, and it's kind of a Hollywood glimpse at what their life could be like.
Yeah,
man, I totally agree. I mean, it's I always thought that this, you know, it was a great character to bring to life, and I was super excited and honored to, you know, be the guy. And I just always felt like it would be something always really interesting to see, especially the age too that he is when he starts, you know, and what happens to him early on. There is something so realistic about that too in real life. You know, like you say, these guys really are out there. These guys exist in this country, and they also, you know, a lot of the times, like, you know, they come from tragedy in a way, you know, mm-hmm. they have some trauma in their lives, and that's what's like, that's what drives them, and it's what's able, so what makes them, like, mentally strong in a way, you know, that anguish that they've experienced and that trauma they've gone through.
Hey, I wanted to ask you, Dylan, when you're getting ready to play this part, did you go shoot a lot, and what did you shoot?
Guns.
Yeah, not film, yeah.
Yeah, so most of my training was, I had 8 weeks before I got out to London of just, you know, weight training and a lot of fight training. Uh-huh. And, you know, I know that we were going to be I'd go to a jiu-jitsu gym twice a week, and I started gun training when I got out to London a few weeks before the film started with a guy named Joost Jansen, who is
Your gun trainer is Joost Jansen?
Yeah,
that's the best.
It's a great name.
Yeah. I don't know him, but
that's not even his real name. That's that's his Hollywood name.
Yeah,
yeah.
Sounds like you know his name.
Yeah, and he's a hero, man. I mean, he's one of those guys we've been talking about. I think he was in the SEALs for about 14 years, something like that, and the CIA after, and served with the CIA as well. And he's the real deal, man. And he took me through all of my tactical and gun training, and Julie really just worked with rifles and handguns, mostly just learning basics and clearing rooms and breaching with the partner, you know, and just real stuff, and then just learning weapon transitions and really working from the ground up. And yeah, I mean, it was a blast, and this guy really just, I mean, knows what he's doing.
Nothing worse than watching a movie like this and they do it wrong.
Yeah,
and
you just
totally.
Go, like magazine changes and things like that. You go, no, stop.
Yeah.
Or they say clip.
No. And that's what, you know, that's what Joost was there for, man. And he, you know, it was really important to us, I think, all around for this to be like, look, there's a balance, obviously. It's still a movie. And, you know, sometimes the real thing in that you do in person won't like work on camera, whatever. But for the most part, you really want it to be as authentic as it could possibly be. And you really want these guys to look like they are the real guys, you know? And that's what Yost was there to do. And I think he did a ridiculously good job.
Sweet. Well, here's the thing. The movie is called American Assassin. You must see it. We've read the books. We haven't seen the movie yet. But if the movie is just a fraction as good as the books, you're going to love the thing. And here's another thing, too, is the more people that goes and see it, that means they're going to make sequels. And there's a whole bunch of books and there's a whole bunch of stories that need to be told. We want to see as much of the American Assassin Mitch Rapp, you know, life out on film and totally on the big screen as we possibly can.
Agree.
And Dylan, before you get going, I have to do this because my daughter would think I'm a terrible dad if I don't. Can you please tell Olivia hello?
Hi, Olivia. How you doing? Saying hi, giving you a hug to the phone.
I got dad points right there.
Oh, that makes me happy, man.
Dylan O'Brien, again, check him out in American Assassin at the theaters.
Thanks, Dylan.
Cheers, guys. Thank you.
Bye.